It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome in to Stinking Truth Podcast alongside Mark Schlereth. We got Mike Evans.
No, you're Mark Schlereth.
Oh, that's right. Alongside Mike Evans.
I'm Mike Evans.
That's I'm Mark Schlereth. Yeah, okay. Ooh, got a little tricky there. You know why? You know why I got tricky?
I know. You're a little bit rattled.
I'm a little rattled.
Yep. In a good way.
In a good way, because Poolside called me.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going a different direction here.
No,
okay.
Poolside called, and that's when I thought to myself, potty mouth, I'm going to get reprimanded by my father.
All right, you got to give people the background. Your dad's nickname is Poolside.
Poolside.
Quick story of why he's called Poolside.
Okay,
because this is awesome.
Yeah, so when you play at the University of Idaho, you stay at the Holiday Inns that have the pool in the middle of the Holiday Inn, you know, and so you hope you get one of those rooms that it has a sliding glass door, you know, that goes out to the pool. So you can just walk to your meetings and walk back in, right? You don't even have to go through the hallway. And so inevitably, my father traveled around to, you know, and followed the University of Idaho around. So he went and watched pretty much all our games when I was in college. And my dad is still an absolute freak show. 84 years old, on top of the roof, shoveling snow. If he was sitting here, you would think we were brothers, like he was my older brother, is in incredible shape. As a matter of fact, let me just get this really quick because I think this will intrigue you. Okay, let's just go ahead, and I'm going to show you a picture of my father just before his 80th birthday.
Can we zoom in on this,
Can we zoom
Maddie?
In?
Can you okay. zoom in? Huh?
This is going to freak you out a little bit.
No, he's ripped, folks.
Okay, this is my dad.
Look at this.
Before he, that's about a couple of months before he turned 80.
Yeah, that's a good shot. Good shot.
That's my dad just 2 months before he turned 80. Okay?
That's stupid.
So my dad is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so we would be sitting in our rooms, and we always played night games at the University of Idaho, right? So you'd be playing at night. And it'd be, you know, everybody would go, you'd have a pregame, you know, and then everybody go run back to their room and take a nap, right? Just to be out. And inevitably, man, my phone would ring. Lights were off, you know, everybody's trying to doze. And it would be, we had a guy by name, we used to call him Puddin' Pie. It would always be Puddin'. And he'd like, hey, what are you doing? Puddin', what do you think I'm doing? I'm laying down. I go, get to your window right now. Go to your window right now. Yeah, so you walk out to your window. He goes, what the hell is Poolside doing? And my dad would be, like, between two, like, lounge chairs, just, I'm doing push-ups, you know. He'd be in a pair of dolphin shorts with a tank top on, just ripped. And he's constantly just finding places and things to do, work out. He'd be doing tricep push-down, So anyhow, that's how he got the nickname Poolside, because he's always on the side of the pool,
yeah.
You know, doing push-ups.
So here's the big question. Your dad's watching this. Hello, Mr. Schlereth.
Mm-hmm.
Is he aware of his nickname, or is this like...
Oh, yeah, my dad knows. He knows he's Poolside. but anyhow, then I thought to myself, oh, man, I better clean up the language a little bit, because Dad was watching, but he actually complimented you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said he liked you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
He didn't really compliment
you.
Well, he complimented
us.
Us. But he said he really liked you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Schlereth. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so that's Poolside.
Well, I thought where you were going, your excitement level that led you to be a little, you know, tripped up a little bit at the beginning because you were a little confused was this news that Tom Brady might be coming back.
Oh, my gosh. My Tom Brady. You know, I called his last regular season game.
Yes.
Dude, so here's the scene. I always go.
Wish we had music. For this.
I always go to.
This is like romantic.
I always go to the camera meeting, right? So I go into the camera meeting and just talk to our camera guys and like, hey, these are some things I'm looking for. You know, if we get this shot, would be great. And just kind of break down the game a little bit about, hey, this guy's really good. Let's get a camera on this guy. You know, da 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 da. And we just have this conversation. It's kind of fun, you know. And then we always give the best shot of the game. So everybody throws in $20, and the best shot of the game, that cameraman gets the money. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of a fun game. You know, it's camaraderie. It's teamwork. So I leave the camera meeting, and I'm walking down the stadium, and it is, it's like empty. They've got things shut off so people can't come through. And sure enough, they've got this like little waist-high fence for players to walk through, you know, so they're separated, but it's eerily quiet and there's nobody in there. And in comes, from the opposite angle, Tom Brady. So Tom and I are going to meet somewhere in the middle of this kind of long hallway.
It's but probably surrounded by a waist-high barrier.
Waist-high barrier, which is just like a little picket fence, you know, a portable,
right,
where they just stand it up. Every stadium has it, and you know, so the players can leave the locker room and head down to the field without, you know, with there's a separation from the regular, you know, people that are working in the stadium and stuff. So we're going to meet about halfway. Now, I've known Tom since he was a rookie. Not necessarily well, but I've known Tom since he was a rookie. So we walk up side by side and say hello, and he gives me a big hug. And we went, like, cheek to cheek, just right, like, his cheek pressed against my cheek. And instantly, I knew the cure for ED because I was like, Captain. I mean, I was just awesome. Like, I know exactly. Like, you don't
have to. You got a Brady boner.
Right. You don't have to have, like, you know, all the testosterone replacement stuff. No. I got the cure now. I got the cure. Cheek to cheek with Brady. But it was awesome. Like he is the world's greatest American, and then the news broke that potentially Tom Brady in a podcast comes out and says, kind of, you know, my phone rings, I'll answer it.
You think he was serious?
Hell yeah, I think he was serious. Like, what else scratches that itch to compete? And especially when, you know, you got 7 world championships and you're like, I'm kind of bored. If somebody calls, I'd answer it. I keep myself in great shape. I throw all the time. I'm ready to roll. Like, do you think Tom Brady could come out right now of retirement after taking, what, 2 years off? Or a year off?
Year off.
A year off? You think he couldn't come out of retirement right now and line up and win a starting job and play exceptional football for the Raiders?
Mark, his last year was 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He played in 17 games, all 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
He attempted 733 passes, which was a career high for him.
Mm-hmm.
Completed 67% of his passes for 4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns. Yeah, he could still play.
Right?
Of course he could still play. He'd be an automatic upgrade at quarterback for 2/3 of the league.
Dude, when he comes out, honestly, when he comes out and says, yeah, if somebody called, you know, would I answer the call? If you were on an NFL franchise, would you not make that call?
Well, especially
if you're running New England or you're running with the, you're in charge of the Raiders or in charge of New England or in charge of, you know, you name the team that is still looking for a quarterback right now, would you not make that phone call?
Well, also, if you are of the opinion, I think you are, that a lot of these rookie quarterbacks would benefit from a redshirt year,
mm-hmm,
then what better way, because you know the fans are always going to be clamoring for the young quarterback to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you take New England, right? Mm-hmm. They got the number 3 pick. Let's say they take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
And the feeling is that they would benefit from a year of seasoning. Well, you know, the fans are going to want to see the kid play, right? They don't want to see Jacoby Brissett play. They want to see the kid play, right? What if Tom Brady is the quarterback instead? You know how easy it is then to say, hey, we're going to let the youngster sit for a year and he's going to learn behind Tom Brady.
Come on. It's like it's similar, not like, I mean, it's not Tom Brady, but you know, when Patrick Mahomes gets drafted in 2017 and sits for the entire year until the last game of the season, because you got Alex Smith, who was 12-4 the year before.
Right. Same thing.
So you get that opportunity. Oh, there's no
Jordan Love behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there is no question the benefit that would be, and then you're learning it from the greatest quarterback of all time. By the way, like I did when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to the San Francisco 49ers from the New England Patriots, I did one of his first games that he played for the Niners. It was against the Houston Texans. And I said to Jimmy, I said, hey, man, like, just, you know, you're going to get a lot of questions about Tom, but what'd you learn from playing behind Tom? And he said, I remember like it was yesterday. He goes, playing quarterback is not a job. It's a lifestyle. Everything you do revolves around playing that position, from your diet to your sleep regimen to the way you prepare, like everything. It's your lifestyle. So it doesn't end when you walk out of the facility. It's part of what you do and who you are on a day-to-day basis from a preparation standpoint. You telling me that Drake May wouldn't benefit from that, that Bo Nix wouldn't benefit from that, that Penix or whoever, I don't care who it
anybody.
Is. Anybody wouldn't benefit from learning the game behind Tom Brady. And I'll tell you this. You talk about the guys on that roster. I talked to the Tampa guys, like Mike Evans, and not you, Mike Evans. You're the real Mike Evans, the fake Mike Evans.
He's an imposter.
Yes, exactly. a guy like him, like Chris Godwin, like they're like, man, the whole process is you think you work hard, you think you're prepared, you think you've done the things the right way, you've gone to Pro Bowls, and then that son of a gun walks in your locker room, and you're like, oh, shoot, I got to pick up my game, right?
Like, you wanted to swear right there.
Yeah, I did, but I know
thinking poolside. Of
poolside.
Yeah.
Poolside's
watching. Pool's in your head.
It's like,
poolside is
like the
in
voice
Mark's
of God
dome.
Is just going to come down and go, Mark, Marky, you know, or he'd call me Mark Frederick.
Yeah, he'll bring in the middle name.
When you bring in the middle name,
that's bringing in the heavy guns.
Oh yeah, yep. That is
you
bad.
You know that. You
that's
know that.
Bad situation.
All right, so we'll see what happens with Tom. Meanwhile, we know that Aaron Rodgers is going to play. He has reported to the Jets offseason conditioning program, and he's talking about being able to play another 3-4 years. You share that same kind of optimism?
Yeah, I do. If that's what he wants to do, there is no question, like Brady, he'll be in shape to do it. And the dude, it's as good as it gets, right? Just off-platform throws, ability to create, his knowledge of the game, when you talk to him, his just overall intelligence, his football acumen, the way he sees the game, it is... I tell you what, it is second to none. I mean, it just, like, sitting down and talking to him and having him go through kind of his process and what he's thinking about, the dude is no question, like Brady and like some of the great ones, like Peyton Manning, they are so above, like, everybody else you talk to from a knowledge standpoint, what they're trying to accomplish, how they go about their business, and then Aaron has not lost the athleticism that he's always had, his ability to scramble, his ability to make, like I said, off-platform throws. The guy's exceptional. And so if he wants to play another 3 years or 2 or 3 years after this, yeah, absolutely. Could I see him doing that? Yeah, there's no question. And it'll be interesting to see exactly kind of the Jets, because I think you'd have to handicap that situation. Look at all the losses the Buffalo Bills have. There's still that aspect of Miami that you're like, you really think Miami's is going to go on the road come playoff time and win, or late season?
All right, call your shot. Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
All 17 weeks.
Yeah. Give me your AFC East hierarchy.
Jets. Number one.
No hesitation.
Bills, Miami.
Dolphins, you don't think the Dolphins have enough, especially with Buffalo weakened, to jump over them?
I think the Dolphins are really interesting. There's a part of me that just feels, I'm not talking front-running attitude, I'm talking if they played 17 games in Miami, yes.
But so you're going to hold that playoff game against them? and the way they just laid down.
Yeah, I just hold that whole when they have to go on the road in inclement weather or when they have to do, I just there's something about playing in Miami that lacks a certain level of toughness to me.
Let's talk about your favorite players on a football team.
Okay.
Wide receivers.
Yes.
You love talking about wide receivers. I
love the wideouts.
You love
the wideouts. I've always loved wideouts.
Just good, solid, hard,
right,
core
just
football
all
players.
About the team first. Don't care about how many targets or receptions they have or yardage. It's all about what can I do? Show me how I can get this push crack so I can get in there on that safety and really throw the block that springs a running back for a big play. Like, that's what I'm
all
about.
Team.
Yeah.
T-E-A-M. No I in team. Let's start with CeeDee Lamb not showing up for the start of Cowboys voluntary off-season conditioning program. We know he's going into the last year of a contract. We talked about this on the podcast about how the Cowboys seem to be. Jerry Jones seems prepared to just kind of go in with everybody's on a 1 year tryout type contract situation. It's really the only leverage that a player has, right?
Correct.
When you don't have a contract, is to say, I'm going to stay away from your off-season conditioning program.
Your voluntary camp. I'm angry. I'm not showing up. Yeah, you know what? That's 100%. That's all you have. That's all you can hang your hat on. Do I think that CeeDee Lamb's going to get paid? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, it just goes to show you that guys are disgruntled. And everybody always thought you want gruntled players. You don't want disgruntled. You want them gruntled. And he is not gruntled, that's for sure. He's disappointed. Upset about the situation, about not getting a contract, and that's really all you can do, Mike. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what the Cowboys do going forward, how they operate, because they've got several players that ultimately you need to figure out, and here they are. You know, this is one of them. Micah Parsons, another one of them. Dak Prescott, another one of them. Eventually, all that stuff wears you. It just wears on your football team. And the other bad part about that is the precedent. You said, if you don't take care of the guys that are homegrown, that have done it the right way and become Pro Bowl players, then the rest of the team looks at it like, well, if you're not going to take care of the guys who have done all that, then what are the odds you're going to take care of me? Like they're in a real interesting situation as an organization about how they get through this and what kind of message they send not only to their fan base but to their players inside the locker room, more importantly.
So another receiver, Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers. So there were reports over the weekend that he had requested a trade. His agent came out and said, you need better sources. He hasn't. But, hey, at this point, we know he's disgruntled because he stopped following the team on social media. Whenever a player stops following you on social media, they mean business.
Now you know I'm mad.
That's the new way of doing it.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
I'll show you. I'll stop following you on social media.
You know, Brandon Ayuk is an interesting story because he was a late first rounder out of Arizona State, and early in his career, inconsistent play. And, you know, there were times where Kyle Shanahan would, not play him or bench him or whatever, who's developed into a really, really good wide receiver. But the conundrum, I think, for NFL teams is how much you pay that guy? Because, do you make that guy one of the highest paid wide receivers in football? Or do you look at the scheme and the system with which you play and the fact that, you know, you set up play action and you set up the run game and you set up the passing game through the run game, and that, you know, you have benefited as a wide receiver from the system with which we run. Like, at what point do you look at that and say, okay, we really love you. You know, we really love you. But, dude, we're not gonna make you one of the, you know, top tier, top five, top 10 paid wide receivers. Like, our system puts you guys in positions to win more often than not. Like, so I think there's a real if you're the 49ers, like I understand Ayuk wanting to get paid, but if you're the 49ers, are you saying, dude, this guy is the guy that actually creates offense, or we create the offense for this guy?
Can't argue with the numbers. He's coming off a season, 75 catches, 1,300 yards, almost 18 yards per reception, mm-hmm. and 7 touchdowns. So, but you're the Shanahan system. Brock Purdy has ascended as an MVP. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the conversation we've had before, is that once you have found your quarterback and you've identified and paid him as your franchise quarterback, do you now put the onus on that quarterback to make other receivers better, right? And now you don't have to overinvest in receivers anymore.
Well, I would tell
you. And is Ayuk right. entered this kind of conversation?
I would tell you that if I was putting the hierarchy, just off the top of my head, but the hierarchy of importance level of the players on the Niners offense, where would Ayuk fall into?
Oof.
He'd be behind Deebo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be behind Christian McCaffrey. He'd be behind George Kittle. I'd put him behind the best left tackle in football. Like, seriously, would he be the fifth priority on that offense? Even if he's not, Mike, the fifth, maybe he's higher than that. He's not the first. And he's not the second. Like, at what point do you go, hey, dude, like, I understand you want to get paid, but here's what we're going to pay you to play for our franchise, where you're going to have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender because our roster is that good and our scheme is that good, our coach is that good. Or you can go off to Jacksonville and never be heard from again.
Yeah.
You can go somewhere where players go to die, where you get paid and nobody ever, and your career basically just goes away.
Well,
sorry, Jacksonville. I mean, that's just been the history.
Right.
That's been the history.
But, okay, the flip side of that is a team that seems to be willing to pay their receivers. So just before we started recording this, the Eagles and DeVonta Smith have agreed on a 4-year, $90 million extension with what, some?
I read $51 million guaranteed.
Okay. And they're already paying A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. So here's a team that's willing to invest in receivers. Does that say something about Jalen Hurts? Do we read anything into that? If the idea is that the franchise quarterback,
right,
that you're paying to be the franchise quarterback, what does it say that you're paying Jalen Hurts, but you're still paying receivers?
Well, I mean, on the surface, it would say our quarterback can't elevate receivers. Our passing game isn't such that our quarterback can take, you know, a guy and make him a great player. He needs great players around him. And it'll be interesting, you know, I think they've done a good job in regards to understanding that Jason Kelce was going to retire. Several years ago, they drafted Cam Jurgens. He's a really good player, played guard for them. But I remember watching him his rookie year in preseason playing center because, obviously, Jason Kelce wasn't taking any reps. And I thought that kid, they've done a great job. He's out of Nebraska, I believe. But good player in that regard. Listen, here's what a lot of teams try to do that have kind of a run first or, you know, read option, zone read type of young quarterback that they're developing. They run those guys, right? And they set up the play action off that stuff, and it becomes a big part of the offense. And in Philadelphia, they could dominate a line of scrimmage. They can run the football. They can run the outside game, the finesse game. They can run the power game. And then they have the quarterback taking some of that pressure as well, some of that run game as well. And it ends up setting up a lot of one-on-one situations in the passing game, a lot of man-to-man coverage situations, and a lot of, you know, favorable matchups in the passing game through your RPO game, through your play-action game. And then you start to realize dude, we can't put our quarterback in this much harm in harm's way this much. So let's kind of ease back some of that run. Let's kind of ease back some of that offense, because in the, you know, the following year, the subsequent year after the Super Bowl run, he should be able to handle more. He should be able to play better from the pocket. He should be able to do these things. And last year, I thought their offense struggled some to some degree because of that. Plus, you lost Shane Steichen, your offensive coordinator, and I think it was Brian Johnson that took over as the offensive coordinator. So I think there's some of that stuff. There's a mixture of first-time play caller, guy that, you know, that, there was a lot of different things. It's not just all on Jalen. But is Devontae Smith, you know, a really good player? Yeah, he really is a good player. But boy, I tell you what, to tie, you're tying up like what? AJ Brown is a $100 million receiver right now. Now you got another $100 million receiver in your receiving core. You got one of the better tight ends in football in Goddard. It's interesting to me that that's the direction. Now, part of the reason you can do that is because you've done such a great job of developing offensive linemen.
Right.
But you also played Milata. You paid him, too. You just redid his contract. Jason's coming off the books, but he was a year-to-year guy. Yep. I don't know, man. It just seems like a lot of money to spend at the receiver. Does it say anything about Brown?
Yeah.
It seemed like he and Jalen, remember, they've been buddies forever, yep. But it seemed like there was a little bit of a falling out last year at the end of the season, too.
Maybe that bears watching as well.
Right.
Yeah. Some questions from you, the great viewers of the podcast. Mark, I see a lot of offensive linemen wear knee braces. They mm-hmm. look kind of bulky and uncomfortable and restrict mobility. Do they actually work?
So, interestingly enough, because I was up at CU this weekend helping out with the CU Buffs, and Deion Sanders asked me to come up, and so I went up and ended up speaking to the team. Kind of just bounced around into meetings and then, you know, on the football field. And Steve Mariucci was there as well. So Mooch asked me that question on the field. Same question. He goes, man, how come all these guys are in knee braces in college and then you get the NFL and nobody wears them? And interestingly enough, so they do it in college for college offensive linemen. So if guys fall on your legs, they work. If somebody falls on your leg from, you know, it takes away that heavy impact right off the bat. So it probably helps eliminate maybe a MCL or a LCL sprain. It helps that type of stuff. ACLs are usually non-weight-bearing change of direction injuries. That's how ACLs happen. So I don't really think it helps affect the ACL injuries and whatnot. You constantly see guys pulling up their knee braces and doing all that stuff. I think probably there's part of it also that the more skilled guys make it to the NFL, you got to have great feet, you got to have great hands. And so I think there's probably less people falling on your legs in the NFL than maybe in college. And they're just trying to keep these kids healthy. That's just part of, you know, that's just part of the deal. But, the knee braces are a pain in the ass because they don't ever stay up. Your calf cramps up. There's a lot of little idiosyncrasies. Now, I play with knee braces on because my knees were so crappy. And they more than anything, that just made me feel stable. It was more of a security blanket than anything else. But
plus, you weren't athletic at that point anymore anyway, so it's not like you had any athleticism to cut down on.
You dick. What a dick. Seriously, what do you mean I wasn't athletic?
At the end? Come on. Your last few years, thank God you were playing guard. You were in a phone booth. You had Gary Zimmerman to your left and Tom Nalen to your right. Two erasers.
Can you imagine the athleticism I had to have to be able to still play at a high level after 20 knee surgeries? Incredible.
Incredible.
Should be a 30 for 30 story. Right? How has the NFL, how has NFL
films, ESPN,
they have completely dropped the ball.
I know. Folks, you're sitting on a gold mine right here.
Right.
What a story.
Right. What do they always do? A football life.
Right.
And they not do right. a football life.
And trust me, folks, when I tell you, he will not have any hesitancy to talk about himself.
Dude, I'm my favorite subject.
You are your favorite subject.
I am my favorite subject. How you guys have not done an NFL football life on me. You know what it is? You know what it is? It's a travesty.
Yeah.
It is an absolute negligence is what it is. So you've been right. negligent in covering the league properly.
Yes.
You should be ashamed of yourself. NFL films. You're on my list. Put them on my list. Matt, put NFL films on my list right now. Okay, thank you. Matt's putting them on my list.
We're done.
That was it?
That was
my only question.
That's it. I'll save. There were a couple more. I'll save them for later in the week.
Okay, sounds right. good. Hey, for Mike, or for Mark I'm Mike. No, for Mike, I'm Mark. Thank you guys so much. And by the way, thank you for subscribing. Thank you for making us a part of your weekly choice for what you guys watch. We really appreciate it growing like a weed, and it's all because of you fine folks. So thank you.